You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Now, TalkZone presents The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems, featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr., who has spent decades promoting solutions to some of the most challenging problems facing our nation today. Now, here's your host, Bob Woodson.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bob Woodson. We're pleased that you're joining us today for The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. Today, we're going to look at the story behind the story. The FBI reported last week that homicides dropped during the first half of last year. What's behind this promising news? Can the numbers be reduced even more? What about other violent and nonviolent crimes? And we do every week on this show, we're going to look at the story behind the statistics, and we're going to talk about solutions. Our guest today, Chief Rodney Monroe, Police Chief of Charlotte, North Carolina, and author Rico Rush and Tyrone Parker, founders of the Alliance of Concerned Men. Chief Monroe has been chief of police in Richmond, Virginia, Macon, Georgia, and currently is the chief in Charlotte, North Carolina. But he was also assistant chief in Washington, D.C., where he was instrumental in working with neighborhood groups to reduce crime and bring civil order to some of the district's most violent plague neighborhoods. Chief Monroe was at the forefront of really neighborhood policing, and he was one of the first to actively engage neighborhood groups in the reduction of youth violence. The Alliance is a group of men who grew up in the same most troubled neighborhoods in Washington, D.C., and faced and overcame their most challenging challenges over the years. As adults, they came together and decided to use their experience and their street influence to try to help bring young people to avoid the mistakes that they made. Over the years, they have brought together gang members and created truces, and they have also helped hundreds of young people turn away from the street life and become responsible adults. Welcome, Chief Monroe.
Welcome, Bob. How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, just fine. Good to talk to you. Tell me something about these statistics. The FBI said in the first half of 2009, homicides dipped 10% nationally compared with the same period in 2008. Although the final year-end totals are not been tallied, New York expects to post its fewer homicides since 63. Philadelphia, 9% decrease, and Chicago had 11% drop.
In Charlotte, North Carolina, we were able to see a 32% drop. We had almost 30 less homicides than we did last year. I think the average may be 10%, but I think some cities that are out there, you know, scrapping just as hard are seeing even further reduction.
And what do you attribute this change, Rodney, this turnaround? Because people would normally associate these tough economic times with dramatic increases in crime and violence. What do you attribute some of this decline?
Well, you know, I'm just finishing up my first year here in Charlotte, but, you know, prior to coming here, I was up in Richmond for 5 years, and we saw the same thing happen there. We saw the lowest homicide rate in Richmond in over 50 years. This year, you know, we haven't had these type of rates in 21 years in Charlotte. So I think that it's some good police work that's going on out there, but more important than that, I think communities are starting to get involved, starting to try to take back their neighborhoods, starting to set the standard of what they will and will not tolerate in the communities. And I think law enforcement has a role in helping to instill those standards and working with communities to try to bring about a better change. You know, one of the most significant things that we experienced last year was our closure rate. And I think that is a good indication of communities' involvement. We closed almost 78% of our homicides last year compared to only 68% and a national average of only 64%. But that means that citizens and communities are coming together to saying that, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. We're going to take ownership in our neighborhoods. We're going to support our police. They're working with us, and therefore we're going to do some of the things that's going to help get some of these killers off the street.
And I know from in your early experience as assistant chief, and Washington, D.C.'s most troubled ward, 8, in the 6th District, and that's when we met, I believe, mm-hmm. when you were the area commander in an area that Benning Terrace, Southeast Washington, they had 52 murders in a 5-square-block area because of the warring factions in the Avenue and the Circle. And Rico Rush, who was on the line, was one of the leaders and founders of the Alliance of Concerned Men. And we came together and formed a partnership between the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, the Alliance, and Rico and his group went up into that troubled communities and brought those warring facts leaders together. And we're going to be exploring that later with them. But I want to concentrate on the very critical role that you played as area commander when the truth was established and there was a truce. And the violence was dramatically reduced. There, some of the young people complained that the police now, who were afraid to come up in the neighborhoods, are now creating tension by throwing them down. And what action did you take in response to this, Chief Monroe?
Well, you know, Bob, first of all, you know, law enforcement doesn't know it all. And I learned that a long time ago, that there's sometimes other people out there that are better equipped to handle some of our problems that we're facing in some of our inner city neighborhoods. And what you guys and the Alliance did several years ago was nothing more than phenomenal, to be able to go into a community wrought with violence, gunplay, homicide, and really get down to the brass tactics as far as finding out what the real needs of that community were. We couldn't do it. As law enforcement, the only thing we could do was respond once the body fell. But, you know, sometimes we have to learn how to get out of the way. And I think first and foremost, I think that's what we had to do, was to get out of the way, allow you guys to come in and do what you felt needed to be done in the community. But after that, we had to stand by and support what you guys have done. I mean, it's not pretty. It's not, you know, all wrapped up in a nice, neat package and where there's some script that we need to follow. It was a learning experience for everybody. To see individuals sitting down face to face with individuals that we knew were involved in some very violent acts up there, but allowing the truth to take hold, allowing individuals to turn their lives around, you know, that was hard for police. But I think once we started experiencing the reductions and seeing the change in attitudes, we had no other choice but to come on board. And it's something that I wanted our officers to be a part of. And dialogue. I think dialogue is so important, and that's one of the things that you guys, you know, got down early with as far as understanding what people's views were. And we had to become a part of that dialogue and hearing what some of the young men up in the neighborhood felt the problem was with us.
I'll never forget, we had Rico Rush, I'll ask him to comment on this too. I remember when we asked these young people who now were willing to express to us, Rico, what it was that was troubling them about the police response to their peaceful efforts. And they said that police were throwing them down. And we took this issue to Chief Monroe, and he said, well, why don't you bring the leadership in to have a dialogue with me and my commanders? And we had a meeting in Assistant Chief Monroe's office. And after hearing some of the young people's complaints, he was not defensive. What he did was suggest, well, why don't I bring all of the fellows and women who patrol in the area to a breakfast meeting at a church? And so we had a fascinating gathering of about 25 police officers and about 25 young people in the basement of a church. Police came in, we had a meal, and we had about a three-hour dialogue. Fortunately, it was captured on PBS, and they did a special that was a part of that. But tell us something about that session, Rodney.
Well, you know, when I went to roll call and told the officers that we were going up in Benning Terrace and we were going to sit down and meet with some of the guys that ran the streets up there, you know, you would have thought that I had just, you know, taken their next Christmas from them. But we talked about it, and we you know, and everybody knew everybody, but, you know, we knew everybody on a different level. We walked in that room. We, all of our officers sat on one side of the room, and everybody from the neighborhood sat on the other side of the room. And it took us to say, no, we're not going to do it this way. We're going to sit across one another. We're going to mix it up. You know, we're going to introduce ourselves, and we're going to talk about what each one's concerns are. I mean, I think the guys in the neighborhood had some concerns, and so did the police officers. You know, I think one of the officers put it very plainly. We want to go home every day. You know, we don't want to pop around the corner and, you know, and be involved in a gunfight and, you know, and lessen our chances of going home. So I think once we all got a chance to speak our minds, and I think when you know people by name and by face, it's a lot harder to abuse them and disrespect them. Because now when somebody comes to me and says, well, officer so-and-so was involved in this, you know, it carries a lot more weight than, you know, them not knowing who's patrolling their neighborhood.
What was the response in the police department in general to your effort there?
Well, you know, people were kind of standoffish at first. You know, what is he trying? What is he doing? That's not part of the mainstream policing that we were involved in. You know, fortunate as the years went on, you know, we had some very forward thinking leaders in the department that embraced that type of dialogue, those partnerships. And I think that it paid off. I mean, it worked itself all the way up to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Department of Justice. So everyone saw that there was a different way of doing things, and I think that that's taken hold across the country. And I think that that has helped to contribute to some of the reductions in violence that some of our cities are experiencing. And those that are not involved in that type of partnership, you know, going to continue to see high numbers.
I find it interesting that in the city of Richmond, that I understand that on the streets that you and the mayor were, their names are positively mentioned in a go-go song.
Well, you know,
how did you achieve that? I never heard of a chief of police in any city being heralded by people on the streets.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of it was, you know, just being out in the neighborhood. And I think that everybody wants an opportunity to be a part of something that works, something that's good. And, you know, we can either sit on the sidelines and let it pass us by, or we can get in the game and become a part of it. And with that, you know, we had, and Mayor Wilder, we had one terrific individual that didn't mind hitting the streets with us. We rode the streets periodically during the day and night, engaged people that were a part of neighborhoods, and got a real understanding of what they needed. And we had some great individuals out there, the same as we had in D.C., in Richmond, that were taking up the cause, that weren't afraid to go in those neighborhoods before us or after us, and do some of the things that we were not able to do. And that's bring people together in order to stop the violence.
In other words, when you're talking about high closure of cases, that means that people were testifying in court. Isn't that correct?
People testifying in court, people bringing information forward to identify people that were harming their neighborhoods. You know, when you start talking about a killer coming into a neighborhood and taking somebody's life and allowed to walk the street, continue to walk the streets, only thing they're doing is continuing to intimidate and bring fear to that community. Communities started standing up and said that we're not going to tolerate that. You know, if we work with police and we can get this individual off the street fast enough, I think that we can be safer in our neighborhoods. Our conviction rates went up to almost 97% in Richmond. And with that, citizens, they took charge. You know, we like to think that, you know, we have a lot of CSI forensic evidence going in, you know, to help us solve these particular cases. That's not the case. It's citizens, the people that make a part of that neighborhood that bring that information that allows us to close the case. And that's not snitching, Bob. You know, that's one of the things that a lot of people helped us out with. You know, that had nothing to do with snitching. That had everything to do with you being involved in your community and taking ownership in your community.
And I believe when we the young people that the Alliance brought to the table, once they began to serve their community and began to rebuild it, they shared with you some interesting intelligence. I remember there was some drive-bys, people trying to provoke them to get back into, and Rico, you may comment on this too, there were some efforts to try to provoke the young people to re-engage in violence by having drive-bys. And when they met with the police, they told them they conduct these drive-bys at 12 o'clock when you all change shifts, and that if you should change your shift times and you can catch them. And I think, Rodney, you changed it from 12 to 11.
Well, something like that. You know, one of the things that the Alliance brought to us, they helped our credibility. You know, a lot of times we want to think it's the other way around, but they helped our credibility. They were able to go into these communities and walk hand in hand with us and to show that we weren't the enemy. We weren't out there trying to lock everybody up. We wanted the same thing. We wanted peace in the neighborhood. And that credibility was able to be shown out on the streets with us, that, hey, if the Alliance can have a relationship with the police department, so could we.
That's a fact. Rico, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I like to say, you know, I first want to say Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy
and
New Year.
I want to also commend you, Bob, and Chief Monroe for being open-minded to some of the solutions and new ideas and concepts and techniques. When we went up to Penitentiary, before we had that dialogue with the police, you know, we prefixed it with a life skill session. And as Chief Monroe said, one of the ideas was to demonstrate that the police was not the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And Chief Monroe, I know Chief Monroe and myself facilitated that group.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one incident that really, that I remember that really had an impact, I think, on the guys was when one of your officers, Chief Monroe, stood up. He said that, you know, whenever there's a gunfire, most people run away from where the fire is coming from, the gunfire. But we have to run to where the shooting is coming from. And he said that in the mornings when he go to work, he grabs his son and he kisses his son. And because he doesn't know if that's going to be the last time that he sees his son with mm-hmm. the type of work he's doing. And what it demonstrated was that this man was a human being who had feelings and was going to work. You know, he wasn't like the enemy. He was performing a duty. That was his assigned duty, and he was at work. And you can hear a pin drop when he said that, you know, because the guys saw a guy in a blue uniform, but they looked beyond the uniform and they saw a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that made a major impact. The other thing is Chief Monroe mentioned, is that we work together. We walked together. We did things together. We had, and we got a picture of the evidence at the end of the session. We had it in the church. At the end of the session, you know, we all embraced and put our arms around each other and said a prayer. And those guys, you know, in that dialogue, those guys saw the police as a human being, not as an enemy, because it's almost like a cat and mouse game. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to run away from the police. Even if they ain't do nothing wrong, they would run away.
Right.
You know, we also took them down, did their driver's license. We had a concept called going legal. And we said, hey, look, y'all stealing cars, racing them down the street, and you're old enough to get a driver's license, get a job, and get your own car. So when we took Derek down when he first got his driver's license, he came back and said he was legal. I'm legal to the other guy. So when he saw the police, he had to take off and have them chase him because he didn't have a driver's license. I mean, you know, it's so real simple things like that is where they didn't have a clue to living in America, you know, doing the right thing. And how they were causing a lot of these frictions and conflicts on themselves. The other thing that Chief Monroe did is when we had a discussion, you remember, Bob, about the guy saying they was being harassed, you know, about the laundering law. And we brought him down there. And so, you know, we had to explain because some people just assume they don't understand the laws, what their rights are and things like that. And they go straight from anger to just rebellion. You know, so we taught them how to deal with their emotions and everything, and also help them understand where their anger was coming from.
Because Chief Monroe, let me just add, before you go, would you share with our listeners what were some of the lessons you took out of your experience in D.C. that influenced the way you became chief, you operate as chief?
Well, the primary lesson that I learned, Bob, is that sometimes others can do a better job than law enforcement. And I think sometimes it's better to be apart and from a community than it is to go into a community every day and work. And reaching out and finding those that have an interest in working out there in the community, that have the ability to communicate with those within the neighborhood that are experiencing some of the troubles we see every day, and support them. Look for ways of identifying resources or opportunities for them to come in and to help out. And I think that, working in that vein sometimes is better than hiring, a couple hundred extra police officers to try to put out there. Because if we don't settle it or create an environment where it can be taken care of at the neighborhood level, then we're going to keep fighting that battle.
Good. Chief, I know you have to go, and so I just wanted to thank you for taking this time to be with us, and we look forward to cooperating. I know that some of the fellas that came to your swearing in Richmond, about 10 ex-gang members came to your swearing in. It's probably the only chief that had 10 gang members at a swearing in.
Bob, I tell you, I've been around the East Coast, and I continue. When I hear people, when I see opportunities, I continue to talk about my experiences in D.C., and that's what shaped me, and that's what I think has allowed me to be successful in Richmond and continue allow me to be successful in Charlotte. I think about you guys all the time, Rico and Bob and Charlie, and my experiences up there in D.C., and just know that it wasn't a one-time deal. It's something that has been a part of my career since. And I thank you for that opportunity.
All right, and thank you for joining us. We're talking about what may be behind the reduction in homicides reported by the FBI. Our guests have been Charlotte, North Carolina Police Chief Rodney Monroe and Arthur Rico Rush and Tyrone Parker, founders of the Alliance of Concerned Men. I'm Bob Woodson, president of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, and we'll return right after this message.